Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, getting ready to talk about Sunday night's Big Brother with Brian Lynch in just a moment. But first, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of Rob as a Podcast, and those are our friends over at DraftKings.com. Today is Sunday, and that means 1 week from today, the full slate of NFL games will be back. And that means fantasy football is back, too, and DraftKings.com isn't messing around. DraftKings.com is America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, and you could get your piece of the $5 million being awarded this week, and you don't even have to fall on your butt a million times to get that money. You've already scouted players for your season-long team. Turn that knowledge into instant cash starting this Sunday at DraftKings.com. People turned as little as $11 into $4,000 in a weekend. Somebody else won $1 million in one day playing fantasy football. So play daily fantasy along with your season-long league at DraftKings.com. They're crowning millionaires all season long, and you could be next. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code ROB to get free entry into the week one $5 million kickoff bash. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter ROB for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who holla at your boy. Yes, that's right. It is our Big Brother 16 recap, episode number 30 in the book, Labor Day weekend. And the man who's been manning the grill all summer long, here he is, Brian Lynch. Brian, how are you doing?
Open up that mouth. Holla.
Holla. Yes. All right, Brian, we are ready to talk about BB16 here tonight on Sunday night. We're almost into the final month of the Big Brother season in September. And you know, as the Big Brother calendar changes from August to September, we are down to the nitty-gritty, and we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. We'll talk about the long HOH battle that went on tonight, and we got to see finally Beast Mode Cowboy become HOH. I believe for the first time all the way back from week one. So we'll talk about that, his decision to nominate Nicole and Christine, Frankie's decision to call out America, plus Frankie's in some hot water in and out of the Big Brother house, and his decision to call out America tonight on the show, which was that Frankie must have big balls, Brian.
Some would say the size of lemons.
Yes.
He would say that, actually.
Yes, to call out America. Oh, my God. All right, so this is going to be a fun show tonight. We're going to be very interactive. I know it's Labor Day weekend, so I know a lot of people are at barbecues. So the people that are here with us tonight, these are the people that are really, really committed to either they love BB16 or they hate it so much they want to talk about it. Which camp are you in, Brian?
I love Big Brother.
Okay.
Always, no matter what.
No matter what. All right. So we're going to have a very fun show. Got the chat room going here on robaswebsite.com. Plus, Scott St. Pierre is manning Twitter. You could use the hashtag RHAP and get your questions and comments into the show. Plus, also on our YouTube channel at robaswebsite.com/YouTube. All right. So fun show tonight as we go along. Just a quick reminder, I'll be talking with Eric Stein this upcoming Tuesday afternoon about the epic Saved by the Bell made-for-TV movie, which is going to be on Lifetime tomorrow night. I'll try to live tweet it as well if I can. Actually, I don't know if Lifetime has an East Coast feed or a West Coast feed, but when I watch it, I will live tweet the movie, and then I'll talk with Eric Stein. I think that's going to be an audio-only podcast that is going to be up for you guys on Tuesday afternoon, so that should be a fun one. And that's going to be, I know it's a movie, but we're going to do it on robhasawebsite.com because I think we'll have more of an audience for Rob as a Podcast as opposed to post-show recaps. All right, Brian, where do you want to start tonight? Do you want to talk about the epic challenge of the HOH battle?
Yeah, that's good place to start.
Okay, so Brian, where does this rank for you in, I call this one, I mean, it's like the teacups for me. I don't know what season it was that they did it with teacups, but that's how I always think of this challenge of, you know, you got the slippery alley and you go up and down. They do it on Big Brother Canada. They do it on Big Brother US. what has there, is there one version of this that really stands out in your mind?
I mean, this one, for some reason, I felt like it was more slanted for some reason. And maybe that has something to do with the injuries that they ended up having. But I have no idea, really.
When you say slanted, do you mean the actual course was on an incline or it's slanted in your memory?
They would go back up when they were going back to refill. They would have to push off to go up. And in season 14, you remember, we also had this vote to get a reward in that Mike Boogie ended up going for the $10,000 and took that instead of safety.
Yeah. It did seem like that it was easier when they were coming back with the liquid, and then when they were going there, their feet were really, moving more to do it. Brian, was it really, when you were watching it, were they falling down as much as the show made it look like?
Yes. I mean, especially Derek. Derek fell and fell and fell and fell and fell until he started going for the money, and then he didn't fall at all. So I kind of felt like he was probably lying about not doing well. I think he was just doing that so he'd have an excuse to go after the money.
Yeah. And so they really made it into a very epic challenge for Beast Mode Cowboy to beast down and win this challenge.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess he did have a knee issue of some sort. I don't know that he would be the type to lie about that kind of thing.
Yeah. And so, all right, so I felt like the challenge just, went on and on tonight. It was like it was a third of the episode. It was like 20 after the hour by the time we got done with the HOH battle.
Yeah, it was a while, but it also took a while. I mean, what was it, 3 hours?
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah, they were around there.
It really ate up a lot of time on the show. So it ultimately ends up with Beast Mode Cowboy being the person who wins the challenge. And the thing that ends up happening during the challenge, which ended up looming large over the rest of the action in the episode, was that Nicole figured out that there was slush towards the back of the container, and that was easier to fill up the snowman with. And she passed that information along to Christine. And so it ended up getting passed along to everybody. I guess Frankie saw that it was happening. It sort of happened in front of Cody. And so Nicole ends up helping out Christine. Although Nicole, to Beast Mode Cowboy, says that, no, I would love to get Christine out. So how close were Nicole and Christine? Actually, Brian, this is a good point. We didn't get to talk to you on Thursday. Could you back up from before the eviction and give us sort of a clear, linear, how the decision to ultimately evict Donnie went on Thursday, including, how tight Nicole and Christine actually were by this point?
Right, and you mentioned how much time this actual comp took place on the episode. They took a lot of time explaining that. Julie even said during the episode that Caleb and Frankie had made a last-ditch effort to save Donnie. However, Derek's in the diary room claiming that he wanted Donnie to stay and that he had done everything he possibly could to keep him. When we see these scenes played during this HOH comp, it was like Cody was trying, kind of the one they showed trying to shoot it down. But then Derek walks in a heartbeat and says, "We keep her," and points at Nicole. They don't show him saying, "We got to get rid of Donnie," because they got to flip the edit for when Frankie starts bashing America.
Yeah. And so that, did it take place on the show almost as it was in real life, that it was Frankie and Caleb leading the charge to save Donnie?
I haven't seen that stuff, because I think that was during the time that they said it was the last ditch effort. So it was during the time that the feeds were down right before the live show that actually happened. So we don't actually know what was said.
And what was the reason why Frankie wanted to change it so bad at the last minute?
That Nicole would go after him.
And did he have any reason to believe that all of a sudden?
Other than it was probably true.
It seems like that, Frankie and Christine were super close. Then Nicole coming back into the house. It's almost like, remember earlier in the season when there was a thing with Christine, Nicole, and Hayden, and Christine got super jealous that Nicole was spending time with Hayden? This is almost like the opposite of that, where Frankie and Christine had become close, very close, and they were tight. And then when Nicole came back into the house, Frankie felt like Christine was slipping away from him. And that's why Frankie has been so anti-Christine. Do you buy that?
Possibly. I'm very confused, actually, about the whole thing, because we're not, I don't feel like the edit about the event is accurate.
Okay. All right. So we ended up with, yeah, it did turn out that Frankie was the one that wanted to save Donnie. Yet he still, I believe, in the eyes of America, takes the heat for the eviction of Donnie. Would you say, is that fair?
Right, because he goes on that rant about they are being punished by America, and that Frankie doesn't care, and that he can't be toting around dead weight, and that's why they got rid of Donnie. And they were able to play that right after they had explained how he was the one trying to save Donnie. So it just kind of like whitewashes your brain. Then they played Derek's little DR about how, well, I wouldn't never say that, blah, blah, blah. And so it makes it seem like he was the one that was wanting to keep Donnie to begin with, when it's actually a big flip around of
the See, and I think Derek is a much smarter guy than Frankie is. And, you know, Derek, I think, is just the master politician and the master manipulator, both inside the game and out. And so we talked about this starting on Wednesday night, that we started to see the winds changing, and that production decided, all right, you know what, Frankie, where, you know, they sort of hedged their bets and tried to make everybody likable, but then they had to decide which way they were going to go. And so Derek is the hero, and Frankie is going to be the goat the rest of the way. And I think this is going to be a really fun way for this to work out, because Derek, we've all said all along, we think Derek is probably going to be the winner. If Derek isn't going to be the winner, he's going to be the you should have won guy. And so it's probably better for the show that Derek is the guy that we're rooting for. When we were at the Ontario Improv on Thursday night, which was a lot of fun, you know, I asked the audience, okay, so who are you guys rooting for? This was before the show. And they said, okay, well, Donnie. I said, okay, if not Donnie, Nicole. But I said, okay, if not Donnie and if not Nicole, who are you rooting for? And the audience said, for the most part, Derek. So Derek would be the third person I think people are rooting for. So once Donnie is gone, and then once Nicole is gone, I think that Derek is kind of going to be the person that most of the audience is rooting for here. And he has the daughter, and he does a good job with, like, he does, like, what Devin was trying to do. And his, you know, his kid is really cute. Even if he wins the money, he says he's going to use it 100% for her college fund. And he goes and cheers up Nicole. So I think Derek is going to be the guy when he ultimately does or doesn't win the game. I think he's going to end up being the most popular person from this season.
Well, probably, it's something that I don't appreciate. I can't appreciate it from a game perspective, but I don't appreciate it like. The move, what he did was he took the game into the gutter at one point, and then he stepped back away while everybody else just jumped in, and it makes him look like the good guy, and he's playing that to America as well.
Yeah, well, he's done a very good job with that, and he has manipulated everything to the point where even though he's the mastermind, he's making everybody else do the dirty work and go and get their hands dirty, both in the game and in the eyes of America. And he is going to come away from this thing. I think he's going to end up really smelling like a rose. And I'm not hating on Derek. I think that it's really amazing the job that he's doing. And he's given, you know, production what they needed to make him look like the hero of the season. So not only is he probably going to win, he's also going to come away looking like the master strategist and the good guy, which is a calculus equation in itself of how do you do all that. And I think he's going to end up coming away with everything.
Well, it's kind of frustrating for me. I just have to be honest, because he would do things like Zach would say, well, I hate Victoria. He would go off on this rant about how if anybody ever talked to my daughter like that, I'd bash his teeth in. I'd bash Zach's teeth in. But then when Frankie says to him that he had punched Nicole in the face, he don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, he is able to, you know, they gotta make somebody look like they know what they're doing. And, you know, I think in a season devoid of heroes, I think he will be the de facto hero when all is said and done. And I think the only other person he has to watch out for is Beast Mode Cowboy.
Oh, yeah. And that's Beast Mode Cowboy is a legitimate concern to be having at this moment, right?
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the Frankie thing, because I know it's what a lot of people want to talk about, myself included, because it's really become a fascinating thing. And Frankie has really become the most hated person inside the house, both by the live feed watchers and by the TV watchers. Frankie, I believe for the first time, hit rock bottom in the Joker's Update house guest popularity poll. He is actually pulled ahead of Christine. I think Christine is actually going to make a run here at being a little bit more popular, especially if she's going to butt heads with Frankie. And I think that's only going to make her more popular in people's eyes. And especially that Christine was defending Nicole tonight, who people like, and Frankie was shooting her down. So let's take the Frankie thing piece by piece. We saw in the episode tonight, Frankie talking about the whole Team America thing and how they, you know, Donnie was dead weight in Team America. How insulting is that, Brian?
It's insulting to Donnie. It's insulting to America because America put Donnie in there. But for the most part, Donnie was kind of dead weight in the game for a long time. So, I mean, the comment kind of strikes home, and that's what makes it even more offensive, I think.
But the thing is, what was Team America asked to do that Donnie was dead weight in these tasks? Like, I mean, other than when he didn't want to, you know, throw his game out and throw the hinky votes at somebody, where he would have 100% taken the blame for that. So he didn't want to take his own game into his hands. What was the last Team America mission before this?
I don't even remember, but they were all dead weight, Rob, in these tasks. Zach was the one that wasn't dead weight.
Yeah. So
it wasn't even in the.
So, I mean, Frankie, for a guy who, you know, he could have positioned himself better on this. He goes and he looks straight into the camera. I've never seen anybody even do this before on Big Brother. And I wish I wrote down the exact quote. Do you have it, Brian? What did he say?
I cannot be toting around someone's dead weight. You've got to learn. No, Frankie, you're going to learn to love us. He said he was talking to America and said, you're going to learn to love us.
That's a big mistake. You can't do that. You can't do that. And I don't know if he feels like he, you know, no matter what, it doesn't matter if these, you know, he's like a bad guy wrestler. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter if all you idiots out here in, you know, whatever city you're in, and it's like, you're not my real fans. My real fans are the, you know, my sister is famous, and you don't know who I am, and there's nothing you can do about it, so deal with it. I'm the superstar. And so I don't know if that's what he's doing or exactly what he's thinking, but the guy has lost any grasp of reality that he had before he went in the house.
That is a big part of what he's doing. I did hear him at one point say, I am the villain, and if they want me to be the villain, I'll be the villain. I'll give them the villain or something like that. And so, you know, he's doing that. But I mean, I would respect it a lot more if he would leave the personal attacks out of it, but he's not that kind of person. That's what he thinks the evil game is, I guess.
Yeah, and so, Brian, there was a clip that went around, and this didn't make the show, but it doesn't have anything to do with spoilers, and it was a YouTube video, and I think the video is called Ariana's Brother. I'll post the link to it on the show page, and it was Frankie, I guess it was the night following, I guess it must have been Thursday night, and he was talking about why America didn't give them the money, and he says basically that, I thought it was a gift. I thought they were giving us, I don't know why they, like, that this $15,000 they've already made, I don't know if that wasn't a gift enough, but he thought it was a gift from America, that it was an easy way to say, hey, thank you guys so much for being such a good Team America and keeping us entertained so much. And so he was very insulted. And the reason why he felt that America said no is because he was a gay man in drag, and that it was so racy, he was so cutting edge, that all those homophobic Americans voted no because they were so insulted by this very edgy material Frankie was doing.
Yes, I saw that. I mean, it's ridiculous, obviously, but it's symbolic of what someone will do and the things that someone will make up to deny that it's denial. It's classic denial symptom.
Yeah, where is the at your service, America? Like all of a sudden now that, I mean, did Frankie in drag look that different from Frankie any other time? Like, it wasn't like he was like in, you know, a wig and in a dress or anything like that. I mean, that him as Joey was about like a 10% different look than him every other time.
You know, I guess when he was at the makeup thing makes sense because he was doing his makeup for the actual show. But I mean, I just don't get the Frankie thing. I mean, I don't even know why we're talking about him. Obviously.
Well, I think people want. I think that it's an interesting topic because it's a, you know, anytime going back to all the way through, you know, the early seasons of Big Brother, when a house guest is starting to crack under the perception of what does America think about him, I had tweeted this out that I felt like Frankie has somehow turned into Jenna Maroney from 30 Rock, and he's like not even. Is just totally obsessed about the game and his perception. And is he hated? I don't care if I'm hated. Madonna said that if you want to be a superstar, you have to be hated. I'm going to be a superstar. And it seems to him that he was never there to win the money, right? Because the money for him was he's given it to a school in Africa. And he even said on that clip that's on YouTube of him bitching about the Team America thing, he's like, how could they not give me the money? I'm building schools in Africa.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything is, he's entitled to just about everything. If he wants it, he should get it.
Yeah.
And I mean, he wanted to be on Big Brother and he got it.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you, America? Frankie was going to build schools with that money. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Don't get me started. I understand why we have to talk. I do understand why we have to talk about it, though, because he is coming to the realization. But having only watched, like, from season 14 feeds on, I've never been really witness to anyone, like, truly coming to terms with that on the feeds. And I don't know exactly who other than maybe the friendship might, because they were screaming they hated America, right?
Yeah. So,
but they put that on the show then. Like, they're putting this on the show now, though.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think it's a story because it's becoming more and more of a story on the TV show. And the live feeders, you have to give them credit. It's like, you guys are always, like, about a month ahead of where things are on the show. I remember last summer where the Aaron is a racist thing was happening on a live feed, on the live feeds. Everybody on the live feeds was talking about it, all the things on YouTube. And there was we were about a month into the season before that became a story. And then finally there was enough talk about it and enough buzz about it. And the TV show couldn't hide from it anymore. And they had to go into it. And guess what? It became a good thing for the TV show to be talking about that. And at that time, I think the ratings even started to go up because it was something that was interesting that was happening on the TV show that they were addressing. And the same thing with Amanda last summer where, you know, the TV show went for a long time, not really going into it. And then finally, when the TV show finally gets into it, they pile on. And I felt like the other night it was sort of like we reached a moment where it was a tipping point with Frankie Grande on the TV show. And we're over the tipping point. And now I think that the rest of the season, production's just going to keep pouring it on. And because much like they need a hero, they need somebody for us to be spewing hatred towards. And now they're going to be giving us that pound of flesh in Frankie.
So Frankie's the villain. Derek's the hero.
Yes.
And Derek's going to win anyway, so they've got their storyline set.
Yes, or he's going to be the You Should Have Won guy.
Or the You Should Have Won guy. But who? I just do not see anyone turning on Derek at all.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, he's probably got this. The one thing that could change is if, you know, everybody at the Final Four sits there and says, so, a la Dr. Will and the All-Stars, where they say, hey, you know, Derek's going to win, and they don't end up taking him. Or sort of like, you know, somebody wins that last HOH and doesn't take him to the end. So that is a possibility that that could happen. But I'd say chances are probably about 70-75% that Derek's got it. Okay, the other big Frankie story from the weekend. Okay, so, Brian, this is a little bit about the live feeds, but again, this isn't, I don't believe that this is a spoiler. I'll make that call. So Saturday night, everybody got booze, or a couple of people in the house got booze, and they decided that it was going to be what? Cody, Caleb, and Victoria were going to drink?
I guess. No, I don't remember if Caleb really didn't get drunk, but Cody and Victoria got wasted.
Okay. And so they start talking, and so Frankie, he is a superstar, and he wants to be famous. And the thing about being famous is that they talk to you about TMZ. And Frankie, the good news is that you know, he's so famous that they're going to talk about him on TMZ, but now they're going to start pulling clips on people. And when you're on the Big Brother live feeds, it's never a good thing once TMZ starts pulling clips on you. And so it's turned into a kind of a big thing now that there was a conversation that started where Christine said to Cody, like, hey, if you get drunk tonight, don't make love to Victoria, and which is a whole thing in it itself. And so they started joking around, and Frankie started making jokes about how Caleb and Cody should take all of Victoria's virginities, and was started making some vulgar hand gestures and all sorts of stuff. And so this story is picked up by TMZ with the full video quote, which you can watch at TMZ.com. I'll link to that as well. And now Victoria's mother, Elizabeth, wants a public apology from Frankie and from Ariana Grande herself.
I mean, okay, the one thing, though, I'll just get to my issue with this story, because every time I see it, they've always got the word rape comment or something, but they got the word rape in quotes, and the word rape does not come up in the comment whatsoever. But they do say a whole lot of awful stuff, like, you know, Cody and Caleb should, Frank, he should tell them to go double team or whatever. And it's just stuff we shouldn't be getting into, obviously. But everybody in there laughs. Cody takes offense to it a little bit. Derek says something about, well, her dad would beat the crap out of you or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Derek says is like, dude, that's so, he's like, basically, dude, that's so wrong. If I was her dad, I would break my laptop, you know, hearing this. That, I mean, that's foul. So Derek is, you know, he's smiling, like he's not actually angry. Cody is shaking his head, but, you know, Frankie just is, you know, he keeps going. You're right. The R word is never used. You know, the conversation starts by Christine mentioning how Victoria gets very frisky when she gets starts to drink. It's been a thing this season that Victoria is an excessive cuddler in the bed. But here's the problem, Brian. We've passed the tipping point on Frankie, that everybody's frustration with him has reached a level where now he's like in the point where, like, you know, when Spencer is making the joke in the microphone, now it's like you can't even joke now, because everything he says now, we've passed that tipping point. And it doesn't even matter if it was, you know, he was being literal or not. You know, he's making a joke, and now everybody's all over him. It's on TMZ. I'm sure if you are Ariana Grande's publicist, I'm sure that this is the number one problem going on in her world right now, because she's having this fantastic summer. She's everywhere. She's having just a she's on just like a shooting star right now. And the number one problem for her is that her brother is, you know, being a PR nightmare locked in the Big Brother house and dropping her name every 5 seconds. I'm sure she wants to distance herself at this point. And she hasn't been tweeting about him the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm sure when he told her that he's going on Big Brother this summer, I'm sure that she wasn't like, okay, oh, great. You'll be the most hated reality person in America. That'll be fantastic for my career.
I don't think she's going to be tweeting about it, but I'm not sure that she's like that freaking out over it. I mean, I wouldn't know. I mean, because to him, he probably don't even care about it.
Yeah, and I don't think that she is. I'm saying if I was her publicist, I think I would be freaking out over this, because that this guy is being seen on TV by 9 million people. And so if I'm Ariana Grande, do I want 9 million people hating my brother who's name dropping me every couple of seconds?
I mean, it depends on if those people have never heard of me before and they might buy my album.
I guess so. Are people going to buy your album, though, if they only know you from They Hate Your Brother?
I guess it depends on how good the music is.
I guess so. The music is very good. It's very good. So it's going to be a very, very interesting story to follow in the Big Brother house and not in the Big Brother house. I think this is going to be fascinating, a fascinating meta story now, because this is bigger than the Big Brother live feeds and bigger than Big Brother. It's now, you know, broken through into pop culture now. And so if Frankie does anything, you know, he can't pick his nose without, you know, now people are going to be making the GIFs and the YouTube videos. It's he's past the tipping point.
Well, he's definitely under the spotlight, but, you know, if that would have been Zach that had said it once again, you know, Derek would have said something to the effect of, well, if he'd have talked to my daughter like that, I would have bashed his teeth in.
But it wouldn't have been on TMZ if Zach would have said it. It wouldn't have been on YouTube, and we wouldn't have been passing it around and say, oh, my God, look at this. Can you believe what Frankie is doing now? And nobody would have cared. You know, Derek would have cared. It would have hurt Zach in the game. But the thing about Frankie is that now he's just under the microscope. And no matter what he does now, you know, it's just he has worn out his welcome with the Big Brother community.
What is the straw that broke the camel's back here? Is
Donnie.
Turning on Donnie?
Donnie, yes.
But he tried to keep him, right?
And I'll tell you the straw
that on Derek.
Yes, the straw that broke the camel's back, I think, was the play. You know, let's do a play instead of Save Donnie. America doesn't want this. But if the camel's back was still stuck together with scotch tape, calling out America to camera tonight was the straw that broke the camel's back. Or that was the sledgehammer that hit the camel with the broken back and just totally was lights out for the camel. So this is going to be such an interesting meta story over these last couple of weeks. How will Frankie cope with, you know, these people? And Brian, how many people are coming to the backyard and screaming things and hearing the cheering for Donnie? Frankie knows America hates him, right?
Oh, for sure. Yes.
And this is a guy.
Now, he has said us. Hate us when he talks to Derek. They hate us, but he knows. He has said they hate me too, I believe.
And do you think that once this all happens and America loves Zach and loves Donnie and hates Frankie, do you think that Zanky will be a thing when Zach comes out of the house and sees that all the people who love him hate Frankie?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, when he sees this whole thing about, like, what you were talking about, like, the America wasn't used to seeing a guy in drag, and they were all homophobic, and that he understands that at one point Frankie was actually trying to suggest that he may have been homophobic towards Frankie and throwing him under the bus. I don't know that Zach's going to be that cool with him.
Nothing.
But, I mean, I don't know. Zach is a very forgiving person.
He's very forgiving. Very forgiving. It sucks that nothing about why people don't like Frankie is about him being gay. Like, really, I'm sure there are people out there who don't like Frankie because he's gay, but that there have been many, you know, reality TV and Big Brother house guests that people have loved who are gay. And it's such a cop out that people don't like me because I'm gay. And that's why people don't like me. People had no problem with him the first couple of months of the season.
Well, of course not. It sucks. You know, gay people hate it because it's like, I mean, it makes them look bad to have someone run around saying that because I'm gay. I don't get away with what I want. It makes gay people look pompous because he is the representation of gay people on the show this year. And it pisses gay people off, Rob.
Yeah. All right. Let's not spend too much time on this here, even though I could talk about it easily for six more hours. But we'll see if you guys have questions about it. Happy to talk more about it. Let's talk about, okay, let's do one more Frankie thing, not specifically about this. I thought that this was a very interesting scene. And I would love to know this from a Big Brother insider. But, Brian, maybe you could tell me this from watching the feeds. There's the conversation where they're at the table after the competition. And the Big Brother, they're sitting there, and Big Brother says, Nicole, please put on your microphone. And so Frankie's, oh, see, she's talking game again. She's talking game. And Christina's like, well, not necessarily. She might just have her microphone not on. And Frankie says, there you go. Why are you always defending Nicole? So, Brian, you watch a insane amount of live feeds. Does Big Brother tell people to put on their microphone if they are not talking about game?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So that it does.
I mean, sometimes they'll let people get away with running around for a while because they're taking a shower or something. But for the most part, if you're in the shower, you know, you're not mic'd up. And that's just about it.
Yeah. Okay, so that you think it was you agree that you agree with Christine that Nicole was not necessarily talking about game.
Oh well, yes, but I mean, this has been the whole blame things on production is something that I think they were told not to do, but they're going to do. They blame people if you get called in the DR. There was a whole thing for a while about, well, you're the saboteur now because you got called at the DR. Someone told you to put on your microphone. You must be talking game. It's kind of unfortunate, but I mean, the game at some point does deteriorate to that at some level. I mean, Derek even blamed stuff on the diary room for this is why we need to flip, because I think the diary room, it's coming from them that's what they want or something.
I felt bad for Christine tonight that I didn't like that Frankie went after her because she was defending Nicole. And all she said was, hey, that doesn't mean anything that they said, put on your microphone, that she didn't jump in on killing Nicole. And then Victoria, of all people, when she was in the hammock with Derek, one, all my sympathy in the world goes out to Derek for having to put up with talking to Victoria all day long. When she's talking about how she hates Christine so much because Christine is laughing, it's like, well, oh, God forbid Christine should laugh. Maybe she should just walk around with a puss on her face like Victoria all the time.
Yeah, but see, Christine was riding that whole boat. Now, she's starting to follow like Derek's lead on backing off on the whole personal attacks thing.
Yeah.
At this point. And so she did a really good thing by allowing Frankie to put her in that position, going directly into the diary room and complain to it like she's the one that's being victimized here because she won't be mean to Nicole. Well, she's been being a complete biatch to Nicole for weeks now.
Yeah. All right. But if she's going to turn, at least change her spots, we have to give her credit for that.
Well, obviously, because she understands what kind of position she is in now and she understands what the whole picture is and that they're the hated one. She actually has said in the past week or so that the detonators are the evil, the villains.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see if what she can do with that information. So let's bounce around to a couple of different things. Talking about these nominations. So, Christine obviously thought that the nominations were going to be Nicole and Victoria. So, Brian, were there any other strong suggestions for nominees? I know Frankie wanted Nicole and Christine. What did Cody want? Did he want Nicole and Victoria?
I believe so. He wanted to keep Christine off the block, but I'm pretty... Rob, this is like what drives me crazy because I swear I sit there and watch them basically tell Christine that she was going on the block and that it's all going to be fine. And then she has this diary room she didn't even know at all. But then in the speech itself, Beast Mode Cowboy tells her that she knows why she was going on the block. How's she supposed to know why she's going on the block if you didn't tell her she was going on the block?
Uh-oh. Is that a violation of the renom rule?
It's all about the renom rule. They have said, like, since then that we can't tell people directly because of what happened that week with Zach, and we told him, and then he was going and stuff. And so sometimes they tell them, well, you're going on the block. And then 20 minutes later, they're all like, well, that just didn't happen.
Okay, well, let's circle all the way back to something where we actually went down this rabbit hole that I wanted to know from you. How tight are Nicole and Christine actually? Nicole tried to throw Christine under the bus to Beast Mode Cowboy. Have they rekindled that relationship, Ryan?
Having been nominated. I mean, we're getting into
How about pre-nominations?
Pre-nominations, I would assume that Christine, up until like what I saw them basically telling her that she was going on the block before nominations, I think that's probably where her shift began to occur.
Yeah. Now, Cody tried to throw Frankie under the bus to Caleb. I thought this was really, really interesting. So Cody says that it was Frankie who was telling Christine the things, that basically it was Caleb that wanted to get rid of him. And Caleb seemed upset about that, even though he didn't act with his nominations on it. But he said, if Frankie could throw Beast Mode Cowboy under the bus, I'm king of the castle. I'm the lord of the manor. And if he thinks he could throw me under the bus, he's got another thing coming, Frankie. So does Derek... Yes.
I'm really impressed with Cody here, actually, because basically all he said was, I don't think that keeping Frankie would be in everyone's best interests. And he kind of planted a seed that began to grow, like, right in front of his face. I mean, Caleb was, like, automatically running to the diary room talking about how Frankie might be a good target.
Yeah, Cody's relationship seems strained with Frankie. It seems like that Frankie and Beast Mode Cowboy have gotten closer, and it looks like Cody is trying to stick a wedge in between that. When Beast Mode Cowboy won the HOH this week, I think it was no coincidence that Frankie went and fell down right on top of him. When Beast Mode Cowboy said, okay, I need to know who's going to be volunteer for the have-nots. And so Derek volunteered, and then everybody else had done it twice except for Frankie. This is another spot where Frankie looked really bad in the episode. And he did not volunteer to be the have-nots. Poor Nicole had to be a have-not. And she was already a have-not last week, and she starts crying. As soon as Caleb walks away, here's Frankie, arm around Beast Mode Cowboy. You know, that they're like, oh, good job, Caleb. You didn't end up picking me for the have-nots. And again, this is a spot where Frankie looked bad, that he was a person who was only a have-not once. And then who ends up looking good out of all this, Brian?
Well, Derek does, because he runs outside to comfort Nicole. But let me tell you what Derek was doing during that whole thing with the whole choosing, and we don't know who's going to volunteer. Well, Derek tells Beast Mode Cowboy just to whisper a number to him, so that they can do basically the Skittles draw just with a number whispered to somebody's ear. But later on, he tells Beast Mode Cowboy, well, whatever number you told me, I was just going to say that it was Nicole that was farthest away from it anyway and put her on slot.
Yeah. So, sure,
he's a really good friend to her. Sure, Derek.
But I just say about that, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game on this. Like, the guy is doing a really good job of, you know, He wanted Nicole to be he wanted her to be the have not, and she was the have not. And then he came away from it looking like he was the only person that cared about her in the whole house. So, you know, good for Derek, for doing that. And, you know, the guy does deserve to win the game. You know, I hear what you're saying, too, Brian, about how he's not as nice of a guy as he's being portrayed to be. But he's giving everybody what they need to show him as the nice guy. And he knows not to be calling out, you know, the camera. And what he did by throwing Frankie under the bus in the diary room was perfect.
Oh, exactly. I'm not saying that he's not a nice guy.
Yeah.
Right. I'm saying that he's not playing a clean game. And
oh,
I'm not even aren't playing a clean game, act like they are.
And I'm not even saying he is a nice guy. I'm saying what he's doing has been absolutely perfect for what he is trying to be seen as. And is he a nice guy? I don't think we really know.
I mean, as long as he takes care of his family and raises his daughter right, that's all I give a damn about, really.
Yeah.
Feed that girl.
You know?
Go home, feed her.
I think that Derek is, you know, just as good of a game player as Boston Rob. And I think he knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing at each point. And just like in the BR rules, one of those BR rules is that, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about taking care of your family. And that's what Derek is there to do. And, you know, he wants to look good and he wants to be seen as the hero in the eyes of America. But, you know, the ultimate goal for him is coming home with that money. And if he had to either be hated and win the game or loved and not win the game, I do believe he would pick hated and win the game. But he wants to have his apple pie and eat it too. You know, he does, and he's doing it. And I think he will do it.
He actually, though, said the opposite when he was actually asked that question, that he would rather be loved, I think, which is kind of confusing. I mean, I agree with, look, the thing about Boston Rob, I believed him when he would give confessional.
Well, yeah, and Rob is 100 times better TV than Derek is. But Rob is far more charismatic than Derek is.
I just don't find what Derek does in the diary room believable. And then I have to deal with people telling me things that I think is just like misinformation that he spun, and people just argue with me about it over and over. And I'm like, no. But
yeah,
you can't.
But the difference is that you know where all the bodies are buried. So, you know, that you know, and I think that's what's probably frustrating, is that you know that what everything, you know, that Derek is saying is, you know, half truths and, you know, some complete lies that he's telling us and selling us in the diary room. You know, I'm just giving him credit for doing a great job with it. And I can see that it annoys you that he's getting away with what he's doing. Whereas Frankie, the rooster has come home to roost on Frankie. I don't think it ever will with Derek.
I think the annoying part to me is that it seems like he's getting like help from production. It's like a willing thing, but I understand he deserves to win the game. You're right. He is the best player there. The best outcome for them to have now has to be for him to win the game, that he's getting this edit. So, I mean, I'm not going to complain.
Okay. So the nominations are coming in. It's Nicole and Christine. And Derek thinks Christine could be seeing Julie sooner than she thinks. We will see about that.
Yeah. Here, if she don't win veto, she's, you know, probably screwed. If Derek's got that target on your back, it usually means disaster for you, right?
Yep. All right. So let's take some questions. Scott St. Pierre's got them queued up. These are non-spoiler questions here. Let's go to Mr. Air Sonic, who says, question. I haven't watched all the seasons, but I heard in the early days they had a camera in the bathroom at the actual toilet. But do they still have it? Because no one talks strategy in there. I think, not to spend too much time on this, I believe there is a camera that is in the bathroom. They only turn it on if people go in there to talk strategy or have some sort of non-private moment in there. Correct, Brian?
Yes, or meltdown.
Yes.
Meltdowns are always shown.
Yes. All right, let's go to Tom Polite, who says, Rob, do you think the season will go down similar to One World? Boring, because someone dominates so much, Kim and Derek, or do you think BB16 has the upside due to the popularity of Donnie and Zach? How will this season be remembered, Brian? Now, I was thinking back, and I kind of feel like Big Brother is almost like Saturday Night Live, and I feel like that we've reached a point where whenever Big Brother or Saturday Night Live is on, we talk about it that, oh, this is the worst season. This is the worst season. At last season at this time, people said this is the worst season. I feel like even the season before, during this, people were saying not as many during the Dan and Ian season, that was the worst season. During the season where Rachel won, people were saying it was the worst season. And during Big Brother 12, people were saying it was the worst season. So, Brian, are people always just saying it's the worst season of Big Brother no matter what happens?
Well, no, people say it's the worst season when they're not enjoying what's going on at the moment. Because if you not remember, at the beginning of the season, people were saying this is one of the best seasons ever. So it all comes down to what's going on at the moment. If the crowd or the mob is happy, sometimes they lay their pitchforks down. But I dare you to make them mad.
I don't want to make anybody mad. So,
well, yeah, they got their pitchforks ready.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that we like seeing, one, we want to see our favorites do well, but our favorites tend to be the people who are doing the worst in the game, the people who are in the most danger. This has not been a season where we've had any sort of reversals going on. It looked like, you know, at one point, the one point when people were loving the game the most was when Devin was going crazy, and it looked like Devin was in power. And within his own alliance, there was a realignment to get him from being one of the people who was in top of the game, and then to you know, him being sort of ousted by the people in his own alliance. That was really probably the highest moment. Probably second highest was when Zach got to stay in the house. And again, it looked like things were changing, but they ended up just keep staying the same. And a credit to Derek. So, unfortunately, it has not been a season where we've seen people who we are rooting for end up going from the bottom to the top very much, if at all.
And the feats have been really frustrating at times. It's like they've been running a sobriety house and like giving them like maybe 20 beers all season.
Yeah. Why is that? What are they afraid of? Beast Mode Cowboy?
I don't know. At first, the whole entire season, I thought it was about pushing a higher moral agenda that they have. But then, I mean, it doesn't make sense that people would do that. But what it comes down to, everyone is thinking, is that Frankie has like been open about having problems with alcohol. So we think it's just something that they have done for him to keep alcohol out of the house for as long as they possibly can so that he wouldn't be tempted to have a drink.
So you said Frankie has problems with alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He's been open about that before.
Well, I hope that this doesn't, you know, push him over the edge. And this is probably a very stressful situation that he's dealing with.
Well, Utopia Feeds have come on, and they gave them a lot of alcohol. And so Big Brother got real quick with giving them some alcohol. Well, thanks a lot. If you think that's entertaining,
wait, so
over the entire season, Big Brother.
Wait, so So the Utopia live feed started, and because they gave them alcohol on the Utopia live feeds, that's why they gave them alcohol on the Big Brother live feeds. This is Brian. I'm not saying I don't believe you, but this is an interesting theory.
Well, Rob, half the people that I follow and like trust is like feed sources.
Yeah,
have been tweeting Utopia. I feel like I've been missing out on some fun.
All right, so you're going to be checking out Utopia. Do you want to be a Utopia live feed correspondent, Brian?
No. I don't want to give a damn about Utopia at all. I want it to go away, but I would like for Big Brother to try to entertain us in the meantime until they have some competition. Like, now that you have competition, you go try to entertain us? I don't like that. Just entertain us and destroy the competition to begin with.
What if Zach's dad was cast on Utopia? Would you switch over and watch the Utopia live feeds?
No, I will watch a little bit of it when Big Brother is over. I'm loyal. I don't screw Big Brother. I would not screw you over. You've been screwing us over.
What would it take to get you to watch the Utopia live feeds on the reg? Who would have to go into the Utopia live feeds?
I will probably watch some.
Who's your favorite who's your favorite live feed person to watch of all time?
My favorite, Ian, because he would always talk to himself, and there was always a window into his mind if he was alone.
Okay.
There was always a reason to watch Ian alone.
By the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Utopia is a new show that is coming to Fox, which is almost like in real time, people are like building a society. It's supposed to last like 365 days. We're going to cover it next month on the podcast, but the live feeds are available. I believe you can watch them at utopiatv.com. Is that right, Brian?
I don't even know because I'm not promoting them until Big Brother's over.
Yeah. What if
Utopia is dead to me, Rob.
What if Primetime Alex Stein and Zach were in the Utopia dome?
I don't care. I don't. I want my big brother to rock at all time.
What if Ariana Grande went on Utopia?
I would give zero grande.
All right. Let's do some more questions, and then we'll get into the live feeds. From Niraj Yoshi. Anyone else disappointed by Nicole's performance in comps and in strategy in the house? Yeah, what happened to the HOH comp beast?
You cut out for, I think we're talking about Nicole being a comp beast.
Yes.
Or not. I mean, she did play strong in this. She did do real well in this. So she is a comp beast. And I think it's more dangerous as a mental challenge, even though she was edited early on as to being this complete idiot. I think everybody fears her as a mental challenge threat.
Yeah. This was her challenge to win. Frankie said it, that this challenge was designed for Nicole to win it. I know they do it every season, but you would think that anybody, you would think she would have a good chance at this one.
I don't know. I didn't think she would have a good... Beast Mode Cowboy was like the first thing that I thought, because he's relentless and strong, and he could... I mean, it was about pushing off. If you could get that push off to go back up the hill... That was where people was wasting the most time. They would come down, and then they would crash and lose everything. So the first thing you had to do was make sure you didn't crash and spill everything, because you'd come down real quick and stop, bam, real quick. And then you would push off, and as long as you got a good push, you could get back up the hill. But if you didn't get a good push off or you was off balance, you'd kind of stumble and have to go back and do it again. And yeah. Beast Mode Cowboy actually had the thing. It had it down.
Okay. Let's go to Christian, and Christian says, do you think production should address Frankie's recent inappropriate remarks / actions towards Nicole and Victoria? Okay, we talked about the Victoria thing. Can you give us the Nicole thing, just the rundown real quick about, he said he was going to punch her in the face?
Yeah, and then she's the C word and bitch and a monster and just whatever horrible things you could say about a person at the time. And a lot of this stuff said again in front of Derek, who would have bashed Zach's teeth in for saying that to his daughter.
Yeah, this is almost like, to me, like the stuff with, Howard, and if he knew what was being said in the house, or if Helen knew stuff that was being said in the house. You can't expect people to sort of, like, sacrifice their game and call people out for something that they've overheard, or, you know, to be right about something. No, I don't think Big Brother should address it. It's not something that, you know, we don't want Big Brother to censor the house guests. I think what they should do is show it on the show and, you know, do like what Big Brother did to Amanda last summer, where let's let the storyline be bullying and, you know, put that stuff on the show. I think that's the best punishment you could give any of these people, rather than reprimand them in the house. Let's let it be seen by America.
But the problem with that is they start, and when it starts to come up, the storyline starts to present itself. They ignore it for so long until the storyline is already blown up, and then they have to go back and retell everything that brought it to it, and they don't do that. So they actually end up targeting specific people and leaving other people out. It's like they get to play favorites at that point.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what the show is. So, you know, they got to fit things in with their storyline. I wouldn't be surprised if they address it eventually, but right now it seems like they don't want to go there yet. Keith Ramage wants to say, do you think production is luring Frankie into being more of a villain? Hashtag BB16, hashtag ratings, hashtag influence, hashtag RJP. I think that they're not against it. I mean, I think CBS would be very interested to have, hey, check out Ariana Grande's brother, the villain of Big Brother 16. I think that's not the story or the idea they came into the season with, but I think it's one that they are running with right now.
Yeah, and I think I've heard Frankie say that feeders don't matter, live feeders don't matter, that's probably the people that are really mad at him, and that we don't matter, and that's something that I don't know that, where did he come up with that? Maybe we don't matter.
Okay.
Do we matter?
Hey, are you buying Ariana Grande records?
No.
Did I sound really old when I said records? I didn't mean to say records. Downloads. Are you downloading Ariana Grande tracks?
I haven't bought music in a decade.
Oh, man. You're missing out.
What is music?
What is, I don't know. Let's do one more question. Let's get into the live feeds. From C. Beichel. Is Derek's game too invisible? Will the jury even recognize how well he's been manipulating things? I think they will. Brian, what do you think?
That would be hilarious if he got to the finals and they were like, well, what did you ever do in the game, Derek?
Yeah. Did you even do anything, Derek?
Fucking loser floater.
You floater, and Derek.
In this position where he has to explain everything. But no, here's what's going to happen. All of this stuff usually comes out. I will be shocked if all of this doesn't come out in the jury house. And they know they're not prepared with some attack questions for Derek. And if he answers them right, if he handles them correctly, maybe they'll give it to him. But he's going to be in a position where he has to make excuses, kind of like Dan was in when he went up against Ian. And Ian came out swinging, and that was disastrous for Dan. Can that happen to Derek? Can he get in that position?
I think that's a great question, Brian. Dan had to really slit some throats down at the end. He had to do it to Frank. He basically just shanked Frank after the funeral. He had to slit Shane's throat at that very end when he got Danielle to let him go on the block at that point, and then he went after him. I'm sure there was probably one or other two people that he did like a real doozy on. And had to really stab some people hard. Brittany was in that jury house, and she was pretty bitter as well at that point. I mean, who is Derek sent to the jury house that's super bitter with him right now? You got Hayden. It seems like people are bitter with Frankie. Hayden's in the jury house. Jocasta's in the jury house. Zach's in the jury house. Donnie's in the jury house. Most of those people, if anything, they're annoyed with Frankie.
Would you not figure Frankie will try to blow up Derek's game?
Oh, well, that might be the one saving grace for if you are a Derek hater. Maybe sending Frankie to the jury house might be, Frankie knows where all the bodies are buried too. And Frankie in the jury house could do some damage to Derek's game.
So, I mean, I guess, does that mean he has to drop him at 3 to take Victoria so he has no opportunity to talk to jury?
That's the move for Derek. I think keep Frankie around.
But then he has to cut Cody, and Cody could end up doing the same thing. He has to cut Cody at 4 then.
But Cody's going to go to the jury house, and he's going to be like, he's going to want to sleep. Cody's not going to want to go talk game all day in the jury house. He's going to want to cuddle with whoever's there. Christine will be there. No cameras in the jury house. I think that it will be, Cody is not going to be talking, bringing Derek down in the jury house, I don't think.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. I don't believe that there's not going to be any blowback on Derek, because the closer it gets down to crunch time, there's got to be this big reveal at some point to these people where they figure out what's been going on and who's been the one playing them. If that doesn't happen, and Derek, I mean, does Derek get to walk through the jury questions acting this role that he didn't do anything at all? Or is he going to be like, ta-da, y'all suck?
No, he's not going to do that. He's not. He's going to be like, you guys, you were great. And I loved playing with you guys. I loved working with you guys. And I had to do what I had to do to feed my daughter. And I think that's what he's going to do. He's not going to be like, you got. And especially when he's up against Victoria in the final two. Victoria will just, hang herself in front of everybody. It'll be pretty fantastic.
Yeah, Derek will say, I would like to see the remainder of my time to Victoria to explain to y'all why I should win the money.
Okay, let's do some spoiler stuff. All right, here we go. Live feeds. All right, Brian, let's kick off our live feed conversation. Tell me about what happened with the veto.
There was a costume punishment, which Cody ended up wearing a dinosaur costume. However, Christine wins the power of veto, so she saves her own butt, Rob. So your pick is still alive.
My pick is still alive. Christine's hanging in there. What was the veto competition?
I am completely clueless. They were covered in like some kind of blue-green paint or something. I have no idea.
Okay. So Christine has the veto. Now, this is very interesting. She's going to come down. Brian, who is the House considering putting up in Christine's place? Obviously, Victoria would be the safe bet, but is anybody considering anything more interesting?
Yes. Beast Mode Cowboy is talking about nominating Frankie and backdooring him and getting him out of the game.
See,
and Derek is not in favor of that.
Oh, well, then it's not going to happen.
Actually, Beast Mode Cowboy has been fighting him with this. Keeps on bringing it up. Like, he was talking about the numbers with Zach. He keeps going back to Derek. Derek will say, no, it's not a good idea, and then Caleb will back off, and then he'll tell him again, no, we got to talk about this. And plus, he may have Cody in his corner.
All right, good. Let's talk this through. Okay, so first off, what was the impetus? Why is Caleb so anti-Frankie right now?
Because it's about either getting rid of Nicole or Frankie. He thinks that Frankie will target him and Cody.
Okay.
And it stems back to the things that Cody has told him that we saw in the show tonight, where Cody feels like it wouldn't be good for them to have Frankie towards the end, because he would take Derek and whoever, because Frankie thinks they can beat them instead of them.
Okay, so we have four people will vote. If Nicole and Frankie are on the block, Caleb will not vote unless it is a tie. So what you're saying is that so Cody could vote to evict Frankie. And then Derek, though, if he votes to evict Nicole, Victoria will vote to evict Nicole. What will Christine do? She could do what Cody does. And if she's butting heads with Frankie, she could vote to evict Frankie, save Nicole, and Caleb would have to cast the tiebreak vote.
No. There's no tiebreak. It's two votes win it.
How many people are in the house?
There's seven people in the house.
Okay, so there's two people on the block, and Caleb doesn't vote. That would be four.
Three votes.
Four. I have Derek.
I'm sorry, Rob.
Yeah.
You're right.
No problem. Do I have this right, where Derek and Victoria would vote to evict Nicole and Cody, and potentially Christine would vote to evict Frankie, and Caleb would have to break the tie, and he would vote to evict Frankie?
Victoria's been fighting with Derek about wanting to keep Nicole, wanting to take out somebody stronger. Derek really told her she was just being drunk and to shut up and to go to bed so he didn't have to deal with it. And she was crying all night, but she doesn't want Nicole gone.
Brian, I say this will not happen. I'll go on the record on Sunday. Frankie is not getting backdoored this week, even though I predicted it, maybe in the double eviction. But I don't think he's going out on Caleb's HOH.
I think that there's a possibility that Derek will say that he's allowing it to happen because he thinks trying to prevent it from happening will cause damage to his game.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I kind of feel like, does he think that there might be still a Team America, that maybe if he leaves, then I don't get another chance at another task to make $5,000 more? Or have they been told that they're pretty much Team America's over with because of the disaster?
Well, we're going to have to see on Wednesday if we get a Team America task or not. So they didn't say it was the end of Team America, so we'll see. But here's the thing that I thought of the other day about Team America. Like, the Team America task, like, let's see what production gives us this week, because it might be something to torture Frankie. It might be something like, okay, because they know that finally, for the first time this season, Team America worked. It was something fun that we got to see. That Brian, did you enjoy any Team America task more than you enjoyed this last past one?
No, because it was like Frankie had the metaphorical apple pie slammed into his face by Julie Chen. That was amazing.
Yeah, so I think we're going to get something else like that, where Frankie's going to have to do something and America is going to get to vote. And then, again, we're going to get to tell Frankie that he didn't get to. I mean, they finally figured out how to do Team America.
Yeah, I mean, how does that play, though? Like, that whole conversation with Julie had with him about apple pie. Like, how does people have talked about that. Frankie said something about
Julie calling him out, like blaming on Julie, like hating him or something. But, you know, obviously he knows what the task is about. He's making excuses. But that's got to hurt, especially when people are screaming that he's a saboteur over the wall.
I could watch that clip over and over and over again of where, you know, Julie says, well, Frankie, and he's like, and then they say it is an overwhelming no, and his face goes like his face just drops. It's phenomenal television, and I'm glad they finally figured out how to do Team America. So I'm enjoying the Frankie meltdown too much. Don't vote him out of the house on Thursday. Can we get Victoria out of the house? I mean, look, I like Nicole, but what is she bringing to the table right now?
I mean, I want to root for her, but I mean, she's going to just, I mean, Hayden told her, Cody, Derek, get Cody and Derek out, nominate Cody and Derek. And then she's right back on board with protecting Derek. And so half the time I think, well, she's talking to Victoria. She has to tell her that she's totally on Team Derek, you know, and that she's just playing up that I want Derek to win. Everybody wants Derek to win, right? She has to know that she's controlling everything because that's the person that she goes to.
I just want to see Frankie dealing with coming to terms with America not liking him some more. I'm not ready to stop watching that.
He's come to terms. I absolutely love it. Yeah. I love when someone will look at the camera and tell me that they hate me.
Yeah, I want to see more of it. I mean, Frankie's bringing the most entertainment to this show out of anybody that's left in the house right now.
Yeah, and he's a total douche. That's why it's entertaining.
He's a great villain.
Thank you, Frankie.
Thank you, Frankie Grande. I am a fan. And so, Brian, we like good TV.
We like good TV, but it's infuriating, right? It's kind of the thing. It's a weird kind of balance. Like, you hate to watch some things, but it's like a train wreck that you can't look away from. It's good for ratings, right?
It's good. Okay. Brian, tell me about what happened with everybody drinking last night.
Oh, what did happen with the drinking?
I know there's nothing too crazy, but Cody was pretty wasted, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was wasted and passed out in his dinosaur outfit, and Victoria was having her fun but ended up crying because she kind of feels like she's going to go on the block. Was talking to Derek about that, and Derek was telling her not to campaign, to shut up and go to bed, and it made her upset. And then she didn't go to bed, but he did, and she would whine about whatever, but she's still going to take him to the end. She'll tell this to Nicole. I'm still going to take him to the end. We need to make sure he gets to the end.
Derek's in a tough spot this week, because if he doesn't want Frankie to get backdoored and he doesn't want Victoria to go up on the block, what does he want to happen? Does he want Victoria to go up on the block and then he'll save her with the votes?
He wants Victoria to shut up.
Yes.
Go to sleep.
Got it.
Wake up. Go on the block. Shut up. Go back to sleep.
Okay. Look, it's worked for other house guests before this season.
Yeah, and he can... It boils down to if Caleb nominates Victoria, Nicole goes home. But if Caleb nominates Frankie, Frankie goes home.
Yeah. All right. So let's, Brian, any other things from the live feeds, or you want to jump back into a couple more questions tonight?
We did have another shouting incident.
Okay. What happened now?
I'm not sure. They it was an inaudible shouting incident, but Nicole has been using it because they did hear actually Derek's name being said. And Nicole, being in the Have Not room with Derek last night, was talking to him about, yeah, they said Derek saved Nicole. So she's actually using that and acting like she heard what was said and telling him that they were screaming to him to save Nicole. And it seems like Derek has been really frustrated about a lot of things. And at times, like, Frankie will walk by and he'll just, like, curse to himself, like he's just not happy with the way things are going. He's not open with us, obviously, because, I mean, not even open with us in the diary rooms.
So
you never know what he...
Derek feels like he's losing control right now?
I think he does feel like he's losing control. I mean, he's scrambling hardcore because Caleb is full court pressing backdoor Frankie.
I'll tell you what,
not only full court pressing, he wants the whole group to agree. He's putting pressure on Derek to agree with him.
you know, I really would like to see at least one time before the end of the season, I would like to see Derek with his back up against the wall, because we haven't seen that at all. I'd like to see what Derek pulls out of his butt when, you know, his chips are down. What's his funeral? What's, you know, what is Derek's escape when it looks like the house finally has him figured out? And I feel like if we don't get to see that this season, I feel like it will be a big missed opportunity.
I mean, I just don't feel like he's got himself in such a good position that no one will ever put him on the block. You know?
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. I mean, even if, like, he's going to end up claiming credit for whatever happens this week anyway. If Frankie gets backdoored, it's not going to be that Cody planted that seed in Caleb's head. It's going to be whatever's recorded in the next couple of days of Derek deciding, oh, well, Frankie needs to be backdoored. It's going to get aired, and he's going to get all the credit for it.
Yeah. All right, let's take a couple more questions, and then we'll start to wrap this up here on a Sunday night. Here we go. From Mickey Marshall. It says, why is there not security stopping people from the shout-outs to the house guests in the backyard?
I have actually, I don't know if this is an act. It's unconfirmed. Someone posted a megaphone shout-out on YouTube. This sounds like it was probably the one last one where Derek was mentioned. It's supposedly not saying anything game related other than you should have kept Zach, Derek, or something like that. What was the question? Oh, security.
Security.
And on that recording, you could actually hear security running after these people that are in the taxi speeding off with the megaphone. So as soon as people start screaming, I'm assuming security goes running for these people, and that's why they have to go immediately.
Yeah. I think that the next one, if I was going to be planning with any of these shouters, I feel like the best one to do would probably be, Frankie, Ariana is mad at you. And then just watch him like process that information for the next couple of weeks.
Mine would be, you're the greatest collection of idiots ever assembled. Derek is a cop.
All right, both would be fun, I think. But again, as a purist of the game, Brian, does it annoy you when people shout things?
I mean, when the rules are thrown out of the window, like to begin with, you know, I mean, if production's not going to abide by the purist rules, then why should we? Who cares?
Yeah,
you know,
I kind of feel like, you know, it's always been part of the game, from the banners to, you know, all the different things that have happened. So I feel like, you know, it's just part of Big Brother.
You know, and to production's credit, they ain't out there whining and complaining about it. They're just dealing with it the best they can.
Yeah. Okay. So how about from Megan Z? The great Megan Z wants to know, why was there a point to having have-nots this summer? Was there ever a point?
No. You know, like this week specifically, because there are have-nots, and they were giving them alcohol. Now the have-nots can't drink alcohol, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, which, why? Why? Because they would be more entertaining? It's just, I mean, I don't understand that we get more entertainment out of starving people to death. I mean, we did see like a mini meltdown from Zach.
Yes.
And we see Frankie whining and saying that he will never do it because of his disease. So, but that's pretty much all we get out of it.
Okay. Let's do one more question here. And this is from Jeff Wallace, who says, will Caleb make the game-changing move by putting Frankie up at the veto ceremony? And if he does, he'll be right up with Derek for deserving the win. Boy, if Caleb makes a big move, Brian, could we start talking about Caleb as a more realistic winner for this show?
I think if Caleb makes this move, you have to give a little bit of credit to Cody as well. I think Cody and Caleb both move up because they're the ones that were pushing this. And especially since Derek is laying back and making it look like that he's not doing all of this stuff, that it gives these guys the leg up about making the big game moves. Does it not?
I think so. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Should be an interesting week. No matter what.
Are we just going to end up with a jury questioning where it's like, no, I did that. It's going to be one argument of he said, or he said, she said, that no one, this is going to be a big mess of Derek claiming that he did everything and everybody else saying, no, he didn't.
Yeah, it'll be a fun jury night. You know, that's better than when the people on the final two end up agreeing with each other and being all lovey-dovey.
Well, they could also end up just being, oh, well, just Derek's the greatest thing ever. Let's just not even listen or ask legitimate questions because we're giving him the money anyway.
Yeah. Beast Mode Cowboy wins the season. Is that a satisfying end for you?
He played hard. Yeah, he's played hard enough to be a legitimate winner.
Where would you rank Beast Mode Cowboy as, well, I can't believe we're having this conversation, as a winner of Big Brother? Is he middle of the pack for Big Brother winners?
I mean, I'm going to put him lower rung.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it was controlled to an enormous extent. But you got to figure he has to cut Derek. I think you got to cut Derek. And anybody cuts Derek, they're not going to get credit for running the entire game. They're going to get credit for cutting Derek, which is going to be the biggest move of the game. It's going to be bigger than anything Derek ever did just because they got rid of Derek.
Boy, it would be fun to see it happen, I got to say.
I mean, whatever happens, it's the game. It's an experiment. I love the experiment. It sucks when they tweak the... Well, when they put outside influence into it, it kind of ruins the experiment. They can say, oh, well, it's just a variable in there. But like, no, a variable is when you put something in there that's a constant, that's not based on what public opinion is. You know, that's really like negating the experiment part of it.
Okay, well, we will see. We'll be back on Wednesday night to talk more Big Brother at 9:15 p.m. after the Wednesday night edition. We will be back with the winner of Big Brother 15. Andy Heron is going to come on back and talk with us about what is going on now that we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And Andy has been tweeting all weekend about how this was around the time last year that he started the Exterminators, and this is when he made his move. Nobody this season is making their move, so I'm sure we will continue that conversation with Andy on Wednesday. Plus, Eric Stein will be my guest on Tuesday to talk about the upcoming Saved by the Bell Lifetime movie, which is shaping up to be possibly the worst movie ever made since The Scorned, Brian.
Really?
Yes.
The Zach Attack not pulling it through for that?
Yes. The only Zach Attack you'll be seeing this September is going to be...
The Zach Attack that sucks.
The Zach Attack that sucks. We'll be back on Lifetime, so we'll talk to Eric Stein about that on Tuesday on Rob, It's a Podcast. And then, of course, Thursday we'll have our eviction show with Ian Terry. So very, very, very busy week. I know a lot of people are waiting for the 49 Laws of Survivor to drop, and I was trying to get it out to you guys this weekend, but I got my finished product back from my engineer yesterday, and I'm really still not happy with how it's sounding. So I told him to... I've sent it back to him and had him work on it a little bit more. So it looks like it's going to end up being delivered on Wednesday. If you can't wait that long and you're somebody that's pre-ordered the 49 Laws of Survivor, send me an email, please, rob@robhasawebsite.com. I have a version that you can start listening to now while we get the finished version out to you guys. And if you want to see more about that, you could see it at robhasawebsite.com/49laws and hear the first chapter and introduction absolutely for free. And we're getting ready for everybody who pre-ordered the 49 Laws of Survivor. Next Saturday, we'll do our Survivor Think Tank special for the pre-order people and the patrons with Stephen Fishback. So it's going to be another busy week coming up. Enjoy your Labor Day, everybody. Have a good one, and we'll see you on Wednesday night live. Take care, everybody. Bye.